when whippoorwills call and evening is nigh, I hurry to my blue heaven. A turn to the right, there's a little white line will lead you to my blue. A cozy room, a little nest that's nestled right where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and the baby makes three. We are so happy in our, happy in our blue heaven. Well, all the whippoorwills call, and the evening is nigh. Nestled where the little roses blew, because it's Molly and the baby makes three. We're kind of happy in our
Thank you. Thank you, Rosemary. Gee, that was great. That really come on fine.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benning speaking. It's 2016, and I thought I would come on to do another quick intro to this podcast. We're going to have an interview with Rosemary that I did in 2013, and this is the best part of the interview, in my opinion, because it's just wonderful to hear her talk about how much she cares about her husband who died in 1964. And just remember, when we're doing this interview, she's in her 90s, and for her to have this kind of recall that she has of incidents and everything that has gone on in her life is just wonderful. But I thought I would also mention that even without the interview of Rosemary, which takes this and knocks it out of the park for our podcast, but the actual show, the Bing Crosby show from, what is it, 65 years ago, right? Yeah, 65 years ago this year, just is a quintessential Bing show. Bing just feels totally at ease and totally smooth in his delivery of both the songs and the interaction with the guests. And his guests with Rosemary and Louis Armstrong, who I don't talk about at the podcast. I mean, who would think you'd have an introduction that has Louis Armstrong in the actual show and you wouldn't talk about him too much? But I've talked about him in other episodes. I mean, Louis is amazing. And just the interaction between he and Bing on this episode is stellar. So you are in for a huge treat. They just don't make entertainment anywhere in the ballpark of this anymore. Just two legends together, and then Rosemary is part of that, and the song she sings is so beautiful. I that's why I had to bring it to you first, and so you got the chance to hear the song and then this introduction. Anyway, without further ado, here's my part of my interview with Rosemary from 2013, followed by Rosemary, Bing Crosby, and Satchmo, Louis Armstrong. Enjoy. Happy birthday, Rosemary. Well, in continuing our marathon of Rosemary performances, this one is really special, and I wanted to save it for her birthday. This episode features her husband and her appearing on the Bing Crosby show. My favorite part of the interview that we did was when she started talking about her husband and how much he meant to her. It's a very special moment. I'm glad she shared it with us. And her husband unfortunately died while she was still filming the Dick Van Dyke show. And from that time forward, she's always worn the black ribbon in her hair, even up to today. So it's just one of those romantic stories, kind of like Jack Benny and Mary Livingston, and how after he passed away, he arranged for those a rose every day to be sent to Mary until she passed away. Anyway, wonderful tribute to her husband that she talks about here, and then we'll get on into the show, and you'll get a chance to hear the really interesting way that they have of her husband communicating back to her while she's talking with Bing Crosby. So, a very fun performance, and I'm just delighted we have it. And continue to tune in. I will bring us more shows with Rosemarie. I just wanted to play this very special one for her birthday.
My husband, I told you, was a trumpet player.
Yeah.
With Kay Kaiser. And then when he got out of the Army, we got married. He came out here. He got his job back with Kay Kaiser. And then people heard that he was back. And I sound conceited, but I mean every word of it. He was the best there was.
Right.
He was the best there was. And people found out that he was here, and they would call him up to do their shows. And Bing's manager called and asked if Bobby could play his show. Well, what a thrill for him, and what a thrill for me. Mm-hmm. Because I said, my God, you're going to play trumpet for Bing Crosby, you know.
Yeah.
And he played for all the Dan Thomas, all the big shows. Everybody wanted him. George Gobel, he and George Gobel became very good friends. He was the top trumpet man in town. Mm-hmm. So he did the Bing Crosby show. And Bing found out that he was married to me. And he said, we got to get her on the show. So they called and they said, would you do the Bing Crosby show? I said, I'll start now, you know. So that's how I did the Bing Crosby show. And Bing was absolutely wonderful. So Bing belonged to a country club out here called Lakeside. And it was very difficult to get into. And so for his birthday, Bobby's birthday, I gave him a membership, which was, I think, $2,000 or something like that.
Right.
And he went to Bing to sign his, what do you call it? To become a member.
Sure.
And he had to have two signers. So my pediatrician and Bing Crosby signed that piece of paper.
Great.
We waited almost 2 months to find out if it was all right. And we finally called, and they said, this is the first time we've ever received a thing signed by Bing.
Oh, wow.
We wanted to make sure it was real.
I bet.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that is really nice.
I'm telling you, I had a wonderful, wonderful married life. I lost my husband 1940, oh God, I can't even remember anymore. 1948, no.
No.
I can't even remember that.
Was it after 50? Wasn't it?
It was after 50.
52 or something? Or?
Because I was married for 20 years. So it was 19, whatever it was. Okay. And I just never remarried because I couldn't stand to think that I wasn't married to Bobby.
Well,
he was my soulmate. He was my only love, and we were a wonderful couple. We really were. We were very social. I played Ciro's out here, and we had parties, and I had a wonderful life until he passed away, and I was doing the Dick Van Dyke show at that time, and they made me go back for the last year because I wanted to quit.
Oh,
I know, it was 1964 when he passed away. And they were wonderful to me. They didn't talk about it. Richard Deacon said, don't put your arm around her. If she wants to talk about it, let her talk about it. Don't pay any attention to anything. And I said, he saved my life. He, Rock Hudson, and Tom Tryon were the three guys that really took me out, made me go out, and took me to the movies so that I would not stay home alone. They were wonderful. I've had very wonderful friends. And I've had, honest to God, this sounds conceited, I really have a wonderful life. I really did.
No,
outside of losing my husband.
I think it's great when a person realizes what they've had. I mean, and you really...
Oh, I'm so grateful. I mean, I know of nobody that has my background, that has my knowledge of what I know about living, you know?
Yep.
We will continue our exciting discussion with Rosemary, but now let's listen to an episode of some classic radio featuring Rosemary.
Only one cigarette, Chesterfield, gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. What every smoker wants.
By Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfields are milder, plus no aftertaste.
So, oh, open a pack and give them a sniff.
Then you'll smoke them.
Someone waits for me.
Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield. Produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins of the Bears and Bing's guests, Rosemary and Louis Armstrong. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the Carry Nation of the radio, Bing Crosby.
What do you mean?
Carry Nation.
Carry Nation. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. Would you mind holding my hatchet?
I'll do that. Now, Kerry, don't tell me you've been going around to saloons again chopping up television sets.
I sure have, and I wish all the good folks listening would shut off their televisions and flip their radios on.
Yeah, still trying to get the folks to see the light, huh, Kerry?
Mm-hmm. And they can flip their lights on, too, of course.
That's right, folks. Turn on the lights. Get acquainted with the folks who are sitting around your living room.
Yeah, everybody shake hands now. Yell out your names and get acquainted. Might be somebody sitting next to you who's wanted by the FBI. You get a big reward. Turn on the lights. Your company.
You're really in a merry mood this evening.
And I'm pretty jazzy, yes. But that's because, you know what happened? I feel very gay and very jolly because I got some lowdown on Hope.
Bob-o?
Oh, I've got the vine on that boy. I have zeroed in on him.
Let's get it.
I just got a letter from a friend of mine who made the trip to England on the Queen Mary with Bob.
Oh, by the way, why did Bob go to England anyway?
Well, there's a couple of theories about that. George Jessel has an interesting theory. He claims that Hope went over there to attend Danny Kaye's coronation. That sounds like more or less of a joke.
I think so.
Small one, but yes, yeah, a little number. It's just a tiny one. But you know the real reason why he went over there?
What?
He went over to take a can of glass wax over for Douglas Fairbanks Jr.'s Monaco. I guess the glass wax wholesale from Godfrey, of course, takes it over.
Who gets it for nothing? But Bing, isn't Bob going to make some personal appearances in London, too?
Just as soon as he finishes shining Doug's monocle, he's going to make a big appearance there.
Well, that boy sure loves to put on a show, doesn't he? He thrives on it.
That's the understatement of the year. Thrives on it. Ken, like the spring flowers need the sunlight, Hope needs the spotlight. They tell me on the Queen Mary, he put on a show in the main ballroom, one in the card room, one in each cocktail room, one in the boiler room. He even put on a blindfold and did a show in the powder room.
Well, I'll say one thing for Bob. He fits in anywhere.
You're so right. I understand the first day he got to England, he made a very bold move.
What'd he do?
But he's always on the alert, on the qui-vive. He applied to the Labor government for a free girdle.
You mean to say the Labor government gives free girdles?
Yes, they do. But what goes in them, you got to get for yourself.
Well, that's... That's the trouble with those utopian schemes. The human element slips in.
Never practical, no.
You know, Bing, I wouldn't be surprised if Bob were knighted over there.
Oh, get out.
Oh,
knighted?
Might be, yes. Mm. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he received the Order of the Garter?
Certainly, he could pin it on the girdle. I want to tell you one thing, Ken. If he ever receives the garter, it'll be tossed at him in a burlesque show or something for whistling and applause over and above the line of duty.
Stout fellow.
Thank you. Carry on.
Well, you know how enthusiastic Bob is.
Yes, who knows better than I. But, Ken, let's drop Roving Rob and get on to the opening number, which deals with another of the roving kinds. That old, salty old sea chanty that is currently intriguing the folks. Quite a hit. John Scott, avast.
Had a dark and a roving eye, and her hair hung down in ringlets. She was a nice girl, a proper girl, but one of the roving kind.
As I cruised out one evening upon a night's career, I spied a lofty clipper ship, and to her I did steer. I heisted out my signals, which she so quickly knew, and when again I smiled at her, she immediately hove to. She had a dark and a roving eye, and her hair hung down in ringlets. She was a nice girl, a proper girl, but one of the roving kind.
Oh, pardon me, she says to me, for being out so late. But if my parents heard of this, oh, sad would be my fate. My father is in politics, a good and righteous man. My mother tends our humble home, I help her all I can.
He took her for some fish and chips and treated her so fine. And hardly did he realize she was the roving kind.
I kissed her lips, I missed her lips, and found to my surprise she was nothing but a pirate ship rigged up in a disguise.
She had a dark and a roving eye, and her hair hung down in ringlets. She was a nice girl, a proper girl, but one of the roving kind.
So come all ye good sailor men who sail the wintry sea, and come all ye apprentice lads, a warning take from me. Beware of lofty clipper ships, they'll be the ruin of you. For 'twas there she made me walk the plank and pushed me under two.
She had a dark and a roving eye, and her hair hung down in ringlets. She was a nice girl, a proper girl, but one of the roving, one of the roving, one of the roving kind.
Nice to have you aboard, kid.
Thanks. Nice to have you aboard. It's been ducky. You like the thanks, Ken. What's next on the docket now?
Well, I thought we'd tell the folks about those milder Chesterfields.
Oh, the cigarette that gives you more for your dough.
That's right, friends. Only one cigarette, Chesterfield, gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. What every smoker wants.
1,523 tobacco growers say Chesterfields are milder, and they show you how to prove it. They say Chesterfield's right combination of the world's best tobaccos smells milder and smokes milder.
And here's what modern science and research says, what the cigarette taste panel says. There's only one cigarette which leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. That cigarette is Chesterfield.
Now every smoker wants a milder cigarette, and every smoker after smoking wants no unpleasant aftertaste. Only Chesterfield gives you both. And that's more for your money than any other cigarette can give you.
Prove it yourself for the price of one pack. Yes, that's all it comes down to. Just the price of a pack of Chesterfields to prove Chesterfield is the best cigarette for you.
I guess this is the season's biggest ballad. I can't let spring turn into summer without giving it one more belt.
If they made me a king, I'd be but a slave to you. If I had everything, I'd still be a slave to you. If I rule the night, stars and moon so bright, still I'd turn for light to you. If
girl to me bowed, yet humbly I'd plead to you. If my friends were a crowd, I'd turn in my need to you. If I ruled the earth, what would life be worth? If I hadn't the right to you. What would life be worth if I hadn't the right to you?
Finish yet, will you? That's the longest ending in history, wasn't it? Thank you very much, anyhow, kids. Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest for this evening is a very charming young lady. Very talented, too. A smash, dynamite vocalist. Started out in show business, this girl, when she was just a baby. And as Baby Rosemarie, she was a great hit with her singing and her impersonations on the radio. She's grown up now, and recently she's been doing some fine work on that that medium called television. Folks, here's Rosemarie.
Thank you, Bing.
Rosemarie, I want to bid you a warm welcome to the Chesterfield program. Of course, this isn't television.
I know.
But what is? I hope you'll be happy here, though.
Oh,
we'll try,
I'm sure I will, Bing.
Well, gee, apparently Bobby Guy, our trumpet player, is doing his best to give you some sort of a big send-off, Rosemarie. He must be a fan of yours or something. What is this?
Well, I don't know how much of a fan he is, but he is my husband. I'm back. Yeah.
You see what happens? I gave him a solo in If, and it went to his head. He wants to play all through. It's nice to have a cornet player in the family. I wouldn't be without one, have a guy can blast a hot chorus for you once in a while. You know something, Rosemarie? It seems like only yesterday to me that you were just a baby working in show business. Hard for me to believe that you've grown up.
Well, kids grow up.
I know. I got them growing up all around me. But you must have started pretty early, huh?
That's right, Bing. I started singing professionally when I was 3 years old.
Think of that.
And I retired when I was 5 years old.
Oh, those were the days. You could put something away then, couldn't you?
Wasn't only that, Bing. You know, I did have to go to school.
Oh, of course. That's right. Gosh, imagine being in show business and a big hit, then you retire and enter the first grade.
Why, you know, I could read Variety before I even learned my ABCs.
Really?
When I was 14, I went back into show business.
Uh-huh.
Then I retired again when I was 18.
Why did you retire then? I never heard him play better. Imagine starting out to work when you're only 3 years old. That's fantastic.
When did you start to work, Bing?
Well, there's those who claim I haven't started yet. What are you going to sing tonight, Rosemarie?
Well, I thought maybe I'd do a little bit of My Blue Heaven.
Oh, I love
Can
that.
Can I go
too.
For it?
I love it. I'm sure you'll have no trouble with Mr. Trotter's orchestra, especially in the trumpet department. Watch.
Whippoorwills call and evening is nigh, I hurry to my blue heaven. A turn to the right, there's a little white line blue heaven. You'll see a smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that's nestled right where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and the baby makes three. We are so happy in our, happy in our blue heaven. Well, all the whippoorwills call, and the evening is nigh. I kinda hurry to my, hurry to my blue heaven. You make a turn to the right, and there's a little white line. It's gonna lead you to my, lead you to my blue heaven. You'll see a smiling face, what a fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that's a nestled where, nestled where the little roses blue, because it's Molly and the baby makes through. We're kind of happy in our blue heaven.
Thank you, Rosemary. Gee, that was great. That really come on fine. Now, folks, here's a fellow who's guested on this show many, many times. One of the real giants of popular American music. A fellow who I think has no equal or no duplicate. Louis Satchmo Armstrong.
Hello, Daddy.
How's things at the Tiffany Club?
Oh,
got
it
moving, walking?
You're jumping,
look,
Daddy.
Look, what are you going to do for us tonight, Lou?
Well, I really don't know. I haven't given it a thought much yet.
You haven't given it much thought. Well, we don't want to crowd you, but you're going to think of something, ain't you?
Well, I see some pretty clever cats there in the
Let's
band.
Let's see who
back
we got
there.
Back there, yes.
Well, we're bound to stumble on something, you know, if I get with them there.
This is certainly the program for it, Lou.
And this is the place, all right.
Well, you get those cats stumbling around on something, and I'll just sort of back away.
Okay, Daddy.
You ready?
Brother Charter? Are you ready to start up?
What are you going to play?
I'll get over here with the cats, eh? Sunny side on the street.
Sunny side of the street is over yonder. Ready, Lou?
Stab it on the rock,
sunny side of the street. Can't you hear that bit of band? Happy tune, you step, baby. Life could be so sweet. All the life. I used to walk in shoes, baby. Blues on red. Now, mama, I'm not the friend. Papa, not this birthday today. I never ever said I'll be rich as I'm. Get your planet Matty Matt Knox and beat up your old child's name. Brother Taylor coming up. Thank you.
you know.
You're joking, Bubba.
You know the fella. Oh, you know the fella who wrote that song, that melody, Jimmy McHugh? You've just made him very happy.
Jimmy McHugh?
Yeah, I don't know about the guy who wrote the words. He's
That's my man.
But the melody writer's going to love you. And folks, the clever cats that Louis mentioned in there with him, supporting him, were Matty Matlock on the clarinet, and Johnny Sayre on the drums, Phil Stevens on the bass, Perry Bodkin on the guitar, Mel Henke piano, Bill Taylor on the trombone, and Jack Cheney on the tenor. Say, Louis.
Yeah, Papa.
You know Nick Kenny? Of course you do. You know Nick, the bard of the New York Mirror, the poet laureate of Rockingham Park. He's written a new song, he and his brother Charles. It's called a thing called Gone Fishing.
Well, I hope it's catfish.
Don't mention any kind of fish you want. It's not specific, just any old kind of fish. But my point is, Satch, that this is sort of a lazy, drowsy, easygoing song about a fellow who hates work. All he wants to do is go fishing.
Well, is this song dedicated to you, Daddy?
No, I think Nick had you in mind when he wrote it.
Well, I don't object to going fishing as long as I don't have to walk uphill. That's all I'm out of it.
There you go. I told you this song was about you.
Well, I ain't lazy. I'm just blessed with a lack of ambition, that's all.
What do you mean you ain't lazy? Why is it then that every time I stop by your ranch, I can never find you?
Oh, that isn't a ranch, Daddy.
No?
No. I just raise a few fryers on the thing.
And you sure know how to fry them, too. That's if I ever can find you home.
But how come you can't find me?
I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
How do you know?
There's a sign upon your door.
Mm-hmm.
Gone fishing.
Oh, real gone, Eddie.
Real gone. You ain't working anymore.
Well, it could be, you know.
There's your hoe out in the sun, where you left a row half done. You claim hoeing ain't no fun.
I can prove it, though.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing by a shady, wady pool.
Shangri-La. Really la.
I'm wishing.
That's what I mean.
I could be that kind of fool.
Shall I twist your arm?
I'd say no more work for mine.
Welcome to the club, Daddy.
On my door I'd hang a sign. Gone fishing. Instead of just a wishing.
Papa Bing,
yeah.
I've stopped by your place a time or two lately, and you aren't home either.
Well,
you know
I'm a busy
that.
Man, Louie. I got a lot of big deals cooking. I was probably tied up at the studio.
You weren't tied up, your dog. You just playing old gone fishing. There's a sign upon your door.
Well, don't blab it around, Pops. Keep it shady.
Gone fishing.
Got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
I don't have to work. I got a piece of Gary.
Cowboy.
I have the twins on that detail. They each take a side.
Don't give a darn.
I give them 4 bits of cow and hand lotion.
You just haven't seen DeLorean.
Well, you taught me.
You ain't got no ambition, gone fishing. Got your hound dog by your side.
Old Cindy Lou.
Gone fishing. Please ain't biting at your hide.
Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing. Instead of just a wishing.
Bad, 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 bad.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lou. He's a mighty man, ain't he?
Man.
Murderistic man, if I ever seen
him. Say, Bing, don't forget this Sunday, daylight saving time begins.
That's right, mm-hmm. Isn't it? Say, do I turn the clocks ahead or an hour, or we go back an hour? I never can
remember. We turn them ahead an hour.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of.
What do you mean, Bing?
I mean, we have an hour less this week to sell Chesterfield, so let's get to selling them.
Oh, you're right. Friends, only Chesterfields are made of the right combination of the world's best tobaccos. That's why Chesterfields give you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste.
Matter of fact, that's why Chesterfields give you all three of those ABCs, the most famous ABCs in the world. A, always milder. B, better tasting. C, cool or smoking.
And only Chesterfield gives you this big plus, the biggest plus in smoking. No unpleasant aftertaste.
Now you see why Chesterfield's ABCs mean more today. More than ever before. Always
buy Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfield's our milder, milder plus, no aftertaste.
Ho, open a pack and give them a sniff,
man, you'll smoke them.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is an old barrack ballad which is respectfully dedicated to General Douglas MacArthur. Thanks to Rosemary and Louis Armstrong for joining us tonight. Incidentally, good luck to Rosemary on her engagement at the Chicago Theater in Chicago.
Who's with us next week, Bing?
Next week, Ken, a couple of our old pals are going to be here. Our guests are going to be Mr. Bert Wheeler and Mr. Walter O'Keefe.
Bert and Walter.
Two fine, suave, urbane, unctuous gentlemen. See you next week for Chesterfield, folks. That's the best cigarette for you to smoke.
Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Bert Wheeler and Walter O'Keefe. Folks, if you haven't sent for your copy of the new book, Tobaccoland USA, do it tonight. It's authentic, it's authoritative, it's revealing. You really ought to read it before you buy another pack of cigarettes. To get your copy of Tobaccoland USA, just put your name and address on a penny postcard and mail it to Chesterfield, Box 21, New York 8, New York. That's Chesterfield, Box 21, New York 8, New York, for your copy of Tobaccoland USA.